Welcome to the debate. When you look at a masterful oil painting, from across the room, the colors just, you know, flow into one another. It's this continuous, unbroken gradient. And for a century, we've basically assumed the universe is exactly like that, a smooth, continuous canvas of space and time.
But then you walk closer, you press your nose right up against the glass of that painting, and suddenly...
you see the strokes.
Right. You don't see a continuous stroke anymore. You see the grain of the canvas. You see the physical limits of the paint. The illusion of smoothness completely shatters.
Exactly. And today, we are questioning the fundamental architecture of physical reality itself. We are debating a newly proposed framework. It's called the Noelian Universe Theory, or KUT. And it suggests that the universe isn't a smooth container at all. It's a digital rendering engine.
Yeah.
So the central question is, can KUT's procedural ontology successfully replace standard quantum field theory and traditional cosmology? Or is it just elegant math masking physical flaws?
And that is the crux of it. Because KUT claims to rewrite the foundations of physics by offering these 77 zero-free parameter derivations. But we have to ask if throwing out the continuous mathematics that, you know, built the modern world is actually justified, or if this new model is just trading one set of mysteries for another.
Right. Well, I'll be representing the procedural ontology perspective today, defending KUT's discrete computational structure and its geometric derivations of physical laws.
And I will be defending the established frameworks, specifically standard quantum field theory and lambda CDM cosmology, which is our standard model of the Big Bang, dark matter, and dark energy. I'll be critiquing the technical validity of KUT's derivations from the perspective of empirical rigor.
Let's jump right into the core philosophical split here. KUT identifies this issue as the Platonic pathogen. Basically, for over two millennia, physics has suffered from a fundamental category error.
A pathogen is a strong word.
It is, but it fits. We treat static, continuous mathematical concepts like zero-dimensional points and perfectly smooth curves as if they are actual physical realities. We assume space is just a pre-existing empty box. But KUT proposes a completely different paradigm, procedural ontology. Reality isn't a static box, it's an active computational rendering engine called the Abraxian engine.
Operating at some absurdly high frequency, right?
Exactly. Roughly 10 to the 43rd hertz. In this model, space is actually discrete. It's made of tiny 1x1x1 units called event points.
Okay, but the problem I have right out of the gate is that framing. What KUT dismissively labels a pathogen is, I mean, it's actually the most predictively successful mathematical framework in human history.
In certain regimes, yes.
In almost all testable regimes, standard QFT and continuous mathematics have given us everything from the precise magnetic moment of the electron to the detection of gravitational waves. Our continuous models are rigorously tested. So while I agree that fundamental physics has to resolve certain infinities,
the ultraviolet catastrophe.
Right, we'll get there. But I deeply question imposing rigid, contrived geometric constraints on the universe just to fix that. Building space out of discrete, fixed-size pixels runs the severe risk of breaking the tested symmetries that hold reality together. Furthermore, I argue KUT doesn't actually eliminate the free parameters of the universe. It simply hides them inside highly specific topological assumptions.
I want to dig right into that defense of standard QFT, though, because if we're listening to this and thinking QFT is perfect, we really need to talk about its most glaring foundational bug, which you mentioned, the ultraviolet catastrophe.
It's a known issue, yes.
Let's break down mechanically why this happens. In standard QFT, you model fundamental particles like electrons as dimensionless points. By definition, a point has a radius of zero.
Well, that's the mathematical idealization, yes.
Right, but look at the physical consequence of that idealization. An electron has an electric field. The closer you get to the electron, the stronger the field. If you try to calculate how the electron interacts with its own field at a distance of zero, the equation literally forces you to divide by zero volume.
The energy balloons to positive infinity.
Yes, it's an absolute mathematical breakdown, and orthodox physics patches this with renormalization, which is, I mean, let's be honest, it's basically an emergency accounting trick. You mathematically subtract an infinite value from another infinite value to force a finite remainder that matches what we measure in the lab. Richard Feynman, one of the founders of QFT, flat out called it mathematically disreputable.
Sure, Feynman was self-critical, which is the hallmark of good science. Renormalization might feel conceptually clunky, I'll grant you that. But mechanically, it works spectacularly well. It accounts for how physical charges change depending on the energy scale at which you probe them.
But QNT solves this intrinsically. It doesn't need an accounting trick because it removes the zero entirely. The fundamental geometric primitive in QNT is the event point, defined by the Newellian length.
Which is what, roughly 10 to the negative 35 meters?
Exactly, 1.6157 times 10 to the negative 35 meters. Because a volume of zero is structurally impossible in this framework, the math never hits infinity. It hits a physical, dimensional wall called the Altamahlan ceiling. The infinity simply cannot render.
Okay, taking away the zero removes the infinity. Mathematically, that's tidy. But let's look at the immense cost of introducing a rigid minimal length. Let's ground this in special relativity. In standard QFT, Lorentz invariance is sacred.
Right?
It means the laws of physics and the speed of light are the same for all observers, regardless of how fast they are moving. We know from relativity that if you move at near light speed, distances contract. Space squishes in the direction you're traveling.
Yes, length contraction.
Right. So if space is discretized into absolute fixed pixels, these event points, what happens to an observer flying through that grid at 99% the speed of light? From their perspective, the pixel should contract.
But it can't.
Exactly. It wouldn't be the minimum length anymore. It would be compressed. So assigning a fixed Cantwellian length implies there is a correct background grid, a preferred reference frame. That completely shatters special relativity. You are solving a quantum infinity by reintroducing essentially a Victorian-era absolute ether.
That is the classic counterargument, but it's fundamentally flawed because you are taking the rules of continuous geometry and forcing them onto a discrete substrate. If you're listening right now, try to picture this geometric thought experiment from the source material. It's called the staircase paradox.
Okay.
Draw a smooth circle in your mind. Now draw a square tightly around it. So the perimeter of the square is exactly 4. Now fold the corners of that square inward so they touch the circle. You've created a sort of staircase shape. The perimeter is still exactly 4. You haven't removed any line length. You've just folded it.
Right.
You can repeat this process infinitely. Fold the smaller corners in over and over. Visually, from a distance, that jagged staircase converges perfectly onto the smooth circle. It looks like a circle. But the perimeter of the discrete staircase is always exactly 4. Meanwhile, the continuous math of the smooth circle dictates the circumference must be pi, roughly 3.14.
Right, because pi is the ratio of a continuous circumference to its diameter.
But the paradox proves that a smooth, continuous circle cannot physically exist on a discrete lattice. The perimeter is 4. Pi is just the transcendental price the universe pays to approximate continuous symmetry on a discrete digital grid. So Lorentz invariance, the smooth space you're talking about, is a macroscopic illusion. It is a time-averaged projection of a discrete manifold. You can't apply continuous length contraction to a discrete pixel because continuous QFT models are demanding smooth circles at the Planck scale where only staircases can mathematically exist.
Okay, that is a phenomenal visual, I admit. But using a geometric trick to discard continuous spacetime is an enormous leap. In physics, we aren't just drawing shapes, you know, we are tracking the fundamental conservation laws of the universe. To ground this for the listener, standard physics relies heavily on something called Noether's theorem.
Which links symmetry to conservation.
Exactly. It's the bedrock principle that every continuous symmetry in nature directly creates a conservation law. Take rotational symmetry. Because space is smooth, you can rotate a wheel by any infinitely small fraction of a degree, and the laws of physics don't change. That continuous symmetry is exactly what guarantees the conservation of angular momentum.
Okay, but
if you replace the smooth rotation of a circle with a jagged, discrete set of mathematical steps, you break that continuous symmetry. And if you break the symmetry, you break the exact conservation of angular momentum. Does Coote really want to tell us that one of the most ironclad, empirically verified laws in physics is just an approximation? Just to avoid an infinity that renormalization already handles pragmatically?
It doesn't abandon conservation, though. It shifts the foundation of conservation from continuous geometry to pure topology. And that actually provides the perfect transition to exactly how KUT generates physical properties.
Go on.
If space is a discrete grid of staircases, as you pointed out, how do particles get their mass? How do physical constants emerge at all? KUT introduces the 3-2 torus knot, also known as the trefoil knot, as reality's minimal instruction set architecture.
A knot. We are building the universe out of knots now.
Yes, topological knots. And it's driven by the principle of minimum sufficient complexity. Look, a simple, trivial loop, an unknot, has no structure, right? It would dissolve. Higher order knots with dozens of crossings are too complex and computationally unstable. The 3-2 torus knot is the absolute sweet spot.
Because of its winding ratio.
Exactly. It winds around a torus exactly 3 times in one direction and 2 times in the other. That gives it a rational winding ratio of 3/2, which is exactly 1.500. Now here is where the mechanics get beautiful. Think of the vacuum of space not as empty, but as a rigid floor of gears.
Okay.
The physical constants of our universe, like the speed of light or the mass of an electron, they aren't arbitrary dials set by a creator. They are the exact thermodynamic invoices issued when this perfectly rational 1.500 knot tries to spin and grind against the irrational vacuum floor.
And here is where I have to pull the emergency brake, because this is precisely where the KUT framework crosses the line from physics into retroactive numerology. Let's look at the mechanics you're suggesting. You're saying the vacuum floor is governed by the golden ratio, phi, which is an irrational number around 1.618.
Yes.
And you are taking your knot's rational ratio of 1.500, subtracting it from the irrational 1.618, to get a remainder. KUT calls this the Noellian offset, which is approximately 0.118. Then KUT magically uses this 0.118 offset to calculate everything from the inverse fine structure constant to the cosmic microwave background temperature of 2.730 Kelvin.
It's not magic, it's...
I'm sorry, but it is incredibly easy to construct mathematical formulas that combine pi, phi, and basic integers to approximate known physical constants. You can do it on a napkin. That isn't genuine predictive physics. It's reverse engineering equations to output the exact numbers you already measured in a lab and then claiming the geometry predicted it.
Framework. QFT doesn't predict these constants. It relies on 19 empirical parameters. Let me ask you directly, how does standard cosmology or QFT derive the mass ratio between a proton and an electron?
Well,
we know the observed value is roughly 1836.15, right? The proton is about 1836 times heavier. What is the fundamental continuous equation that dictates that specific number from first principles?
It doesn't derive it. It doesn't pretend to. It's a measured parameter. We observe the mass of the proton, we observe the mass of the electron, and their ratio is simply a fact of nature. QFT provides the rigorous dynamics of how those particles interact. It doesn't dictate the initial conditions of their masses.
But that's exactly my point. QFT just measures it and plugs it in. It's a magic dial on a dashboard. KUST actually derives it without looking at the lab data. According to KUST's derivations, mass is literally the topological scar tissue deposited on the lattice when the knot grinds against it. The proton to electron mass ratio is exactly derived as the linking number of the knot, which is 6 multiplied by pi to the fifth power.
Wait, pi to the fifth power?
Yes. 6 times pi to the fifth is approximately 1836.118. That is a 99.998% exact match with our best empirical measurements. It is derived strictly from the topology of a knot. No dials, no tunable parameters.
Hold on, Elyon. We need to unpack that for the listener, because this is exactly the numerology I'm talking about.
Pi to the fifth power is the definition of an arbitrary mathematical construct. Why on earth are you using the fifth power? A trefoil knot exists in normal three-dimensional space. Where does the five come from? You are layering dimensional assumptions specifically to hit the target number of 1836.
No, it is mechanically necessary. Think of a physical knot. To fully describe its state mathematically, its position in 3D space, its orientation, its internal twist, its torsion, you need more mathematical degrees of freedom. KUCT requires a five-dimensional configuration space to process the knot. The scar tissue, or mass, it leaves behind is the linking number, 6. Mathematically dragged through those five internal dimensions, that is the physical mechanism behind pi to the fifth.
But look at what you are building here. You need a 5D configuration space, you need a 3,000:2 winding ratio, and you need this specific vacuum floor to grind against. Let's look closely at that floor. In standard physics, the vacuum is characterized by quantum fluctuations, temporary fields popping in and out of existence. QTCU completely replaces this with the Cairo Q lattice.
Right.
You define the vacuum of the universe as a void-free pentagonal tessellation governed by the golden ratio. Why pentagonal? Why not squares or hexagons?
Because if you try to tile a universe with squares or hexagons, you create a rational grid. If the universe rendered on a perfectly rational grid, our 1.500 instruction knot would tile into it perfectly. The gears would mesh without any friction whatsoever.
And why is that a problem?
Because zero friction means zero heat, zero mass, and zero time. A perfectly rational universe would instantly lock up into a dead state. In computer science, we call it a global rendering deadlock. The irrational, pentagonal floor prevents this. Because the 1.618 floor never cleanly aligns with the 1.500 knot, the engine has to constantly push, constantly compute, constantly grind.
Creating heat.
Exactly. That computational friction is what creates the 2.730 Kelvin cosmic microwave background radiation. The CMB isn't the cooling echo of a Big Bang from 13 billion years ago. It is the live, present-tense thermal exhaust of the Abraxian engine operating right now.
Okay, that is a stunning piece of theoretical architecture. I will definitely admit that. But let's evaluate this rendering engine conceptually. You are arguing that QT is computationally superior to standard cosmology because continuous particle interactions would crash this proposed cosmic computer. Mathematically, yes. If space is continuous, as QFT claims, every particle exerts a gravitational or electromagnetic pull on every other particle in the universe. If you have 10 to the 80 particles, calculating all those interactions simultaneously is a computational complexity of order n squared, meaning the number of calculations grows exponentially with the number of particles?
Exactly.
It would require 10 to the 160th operations per frame. Even operating at the Planck frequency, an order n squared universal calculation would require computational bandwidth that exceeds the total energy of the cosmos by 80 orders of magnitude. The universe would instantly crash. It literally couldn't render the next second of time.
And how does QT claim to bypass this?
QT's Cairo Q lattice uses a physical version of the fast multiple method. In computation, instead of calculating the exact gravitational pull of every single star in a distant galaxy on your body, you group the galaxy into a single block, calculate its center of mass, and do one calculation. It reduces the complexity from order n squared down to order n. It scales linearly. In QT, gravity isn't a continuous field, it's just local memory grooves carved into the discrete lattice acting as compression algorithms.
McBigO notation.
Well,
in standard physics, fields are continuous, and they propagate outward at the speed of light. Gravity doesn't need to mathematically calculate pairwise interactions in some cosmic CPU. The curvature of spacetime simply exists as a geometric reality, and particles locally follow the straightest path, the geodesics, through that curved space. The universe doesn't run out of bandwidth because it isn't running software.
But saying the curvature simply exists is exactly the Platonic pathogen at work. You were giving physical active agency to a purely geometric abstraction. You were saying the map is the territory. KUET demands a mechanical cause for reality, not just a mathematical description of it.
And KUT's mechanical cause relies heavily on its 77 zero-free parameter derivations. This is the architectural framework that claims to entirely replace the 19 empirical parameters of the standard model. But let's be intellectually honest about what KUT is actually doing here. KUT defines the vacuum explicitly as a pentagonal Cairo-Q lattice governed by the golden ratio. It demands longitudinal and meridional, not windings of exactly 3 and 2. It asserts a 5D configuration space. It sets a base clock rate for the Abraxian engine.
Right.
These are themselves initial parameters. You haven't achieved a zero-parameter universe. You've simply swapped 19 empirically verified measurable realities for a handful of highly specific, untestable geometric postulates.
Let's look closely at those postulates, though. Are they really arbitrary? In QFT, the mass of the electron could technically be anything. We just measure it and shrug. But in KOHUT, setting m equals 3 and n equals 2 for the knot is not an arbitrary dial. It is the absolute ground state topological minimum for 3D existence.
According to its own rules.
According to the principle of minimum sufficient complexity, which proves mathematically that you cannot have a simpler topological configuration that sustains non-trivial self-reference. If you alter the knot to m equals 4 or n equals 1, the structure either dissolves into chaos or freezes into deadlock. The geometric postulates in KOHUT aren't just assumed for convenience. They are structurally mandatory for existence to occur at all.
Mandatory if and only if we accept the premise that the universe is a procedural rendering engine built to process knots. But standard physics isn't in the business of dictating what the universe must be based on aesthetic computational principles or digital philosophy. We build models that describe what we observe.
But we observe...
We observe continuous symmetries. We observe Lorentz invariance. Now look, while I concede that computational models offer fascinating conceptual tools to address infinities like the ultraviolet catastrophe, standard cosmology's continuous frameworks remain the gold standard of empirical science. Kut's geometric derivations are beautiful. Deriving a mass ratio of 1.836 purely from topology is mathematically striking, but it requires intense experimental verification. We cannot responsibly discard 19 functional parameters for a golden ratio lattice without observing this underlying lattice directly.
And to be fair to KUT, it provides a clear roadmap for that exact falsification. The theory offers these paradigm-shifting solutions precisely because it dares to abandon the illusion of smooth space. By adopting a procedural ontology, we aren't just fitting data. We are elegantly deriving the universe's constants from first principles, the mechanical, calculable friction of a rational knot on an irrational lattice. It solves the infinities intrinsically without resorting to the mathematical sleight of hand of renormalization.
We certainly agree on one major point. Theoretical physics is currently at an impasse regarding quantum infinities and unexplained parameters. Standard models definitely have limits. Fresh mathematical perspectives are undeniably vital to pushing the boundaries of what we understand. But until we can experimentally verify the discrete, tiny steps of your geometric staircase, the continuous circle remains the most accurate, reliable map of our reality.
The beauty of this debate is that it pushes us to relentlessly re-examine the fundamental canvas of reality. Whether we are sliding along the smooth, continuous gradients of an oil painting, or traversing the distinct, procedurally rendered pixels of a cosmic computer, there is clearly much more to explore here. We haven't even touched on QUT's Tier B operational limits, which attempt to map the absolute physical constraints of this universal hardware. But we will leave the ultimate judgment on the validity of the Noah-Willian universe to you, the listener. Next time you look at a circle, ask yourself, are you seeing a continuous, perfect curve? Or just a staircase folded so finely you can't see the steps?